The first reading comes from Genesis chapter 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward will be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, You have given me no offspring, so a slave born in my house is to be my heir. But the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir. No one but your own issue shall be your heir. He brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to count them. Then he said to him, So shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading comes from Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he set out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him, of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith he received power of procreation, even though he was too old, and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven, and as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. All of these died in faith, without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth. For people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the gospel.
The Gospel according to Luke, the 12th chapter. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat. And he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. I love that chime. I keep hearing it. It sounds like Tinkerbell's going to arrive. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. This week and next week, we get some really challenging words from Jesus. Not just the warm, fuzzy, love your neighbor that we really like, but some words that are a little harder to sit with and that can really provoke and challenge us. But all of it is still consistent with Jesus' message of love, and in fact is completely grounded in that message. Not only do we get those comforting words at the beginning of our gospel reading, "Do not be afraid, little flock," but the verses just before today's gospel reading are the comforting words, "Remember the lilies of the field." I don't know if you're familiar with that one, but it's where Jesus tells the disciples not to worry so much, to look around at the flowers and the birds, look at how they are clothed and fed. He points to nature, to creation, and tells the disciples, look at how beautifully God provides, and trust in that. Trust in the abundance of what God provides instead of obsessing over material things. So that's the message then that leads directly into today's gospel reading, where the disciples are again reminded that they are God's beloved and that God takes joy in caring for them and desires to give them the kingdom. And this is not prosperity religion. This is not God desiring us to each have hugely successful businesses and be fabulously wealthy. Jesus says that God desires to give them the kingdom, meaning the kingdom of God, lives full of joy and love, communities full of justice and peace, a world where all are cared for. That is what God desires to give to us. So don't worry about the little things, Jesus says. Instead, focus on what matters. And then comes the hard stuff. Or if you're like me, it's all hard stuff, because saying not to worry, that does not come easily for me. But Jesus tells the disciples to sell their belongings and give money to the poor. Simple, straightforward, but a message that we often complicate trying to make it more palatable. He couldn't possibly have meant to sell all our possessions, right? Because then we'd all be in need of alms, and who'd be left to care for us? Or what does he really mean? How much exactly are we supposed to give? We start to get nitpicky and try to negotiate our way out of this. But in doing so, we muddy the waters. And we miss the clear and simple message of what Jesus is saying. Jesus tells his disciples and us to worry less. To worry less about clothing and wealth, even necessities. To worry less and trust more, and to own less and give away more. Two very simple messages, but that does not make them easy, just simple. And they're directly connected to one another. How do we worry less and trust more? How do we actually do that? Well, Jesus says, by owning less and giving away more. See, the two are connected, Jesus tells us, because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where you choose to put your treasure, that's where your heart goes. So we put our heart and our trust in God when we invest in God's kingdom. When we put all of our time and our energy and our money into ourselves, we get turned inwards and we get stuck in our worries and we never have enough. But when we invest in building up God's kingdom, when we put our resources toward caring for others, working for justice, helping those in need, then we participate in God's abundance and experience God's love. This sermon has been very hard for me this week because, like I told you in last week's sermon, my tendency is to worry. And my tendency in that worry is to save and to store up and to try and secure my own future. But it doesn't work. It doesn't work because there are so many things outside of my control and outside of all of my efforts that just lead to more worry. The wisdom that Jesus offers is that by letting go, by giving away and sharing from however little or how much we have, we direct our energy and our hearts to God and how God would have us live. And there is peace and there is joy in that. But like I said, not easy. Then Jesus follows this simple but not easy advice with two parables about waiting. One is about a servant waiting for a master, servants waiting for a master who, when he arrives, turns around and serves them and shares the wedding banquet with them. That's pretty nice. Then the second parable is about the kingdom of God breaking in like a thief in the night. Not so nice. Not exactly a comforting image. But both of these parables are pointing to the fact that the time is now. This isn't something to be put off until tomorrow because who knows what tomorrow will bring? No one. So the time for investing in God's kingdom, the time for letting go of our worries and instead focusing on giving and caring for others, the time for that is right now, today. And all of this challenging message is grounded in the good news that we are God's beloved, that our God delights in caring for us. So even this difficult call to sell our possessions and give to the poor, it's not an order to go do this or else. It's not a way to avoid punishment. It's guidance on how to find life. It's guidance on how to release our obsessive worries and instead find the abundance and the joy and the life that God wants for us. So even if this is really hard for you, like it is for me, today is the day. Today is the day to let go a little more, to worry a little less. Today is the day to invest our time, our treasure, and our hearts into God's kingdom, trusting in the one who loves us, who provides for us, and who delights in giving us life. Thanks be to God. Amen.